Hello and welcome to Chapter 3 in the BPO series. I'm Nitesh Verma. So far, we've discussed the overview and the evolution of BPOs, and we've touched slightly on why companies outsource. In Chapter 3, we will look at in detail in how companies make the decision to outsource, so making the outsource decision. So first, just a recap of the overview of BPO. So business process outsourcing is a strategic practice in which organizations delegate specific business functions to external service providers. Now, as we've seen over the evolution of BPOs, this has changed from just outsourcing non-core processes to now outsourcing core business activities. And the drivers for each could be different on why you outsource. And we've also discussed the reasons for outsourcing, right from cost savings to efficiency improvement to scalability to gaining access to the latest technology. So what you outsource, why you outsource are very important. And only once you know what and why to outsource, will you be able to determine whom to outsource. So how do you make that decision once you know what is to be outsourced? So let's first just discuss the range of functions that could be outsourced in BPO. We had touched upon the types of BPOs in the second chapter, but just let's again do a very quick recap. BPOs cover a diverse range of functions. So from traditional back office tasks like accounting, data entry, data processing, customer help desk, to more advanced versions like healthcare BPOs, knowledge process outsourcing, IT outsourcing, or procurement outsourcing. So it's a very diverse range of functions, right from non-core supporting functions, sometimes critical and core business activities. And in some cases, it could also be the end-to-end business process being outsourced. So let's look at the importance of BPOs. What are the reasons and why it is important for both the clients and the service provider? So first is the challenges of having internal resources to manage the processes in-house. So along with cost savings, even hiring resources, training and maintaining resources if you want to handle the processes in-house. So let's again take the example of, let's say, a healthcare BPO where medical billing, coding and claim processing is a key process for the entire healthcare process. So if a company wants to manage it in-house, it has to hire the resources who are skilled. If they are unskilled, they need to be trained. So there's a time required, the investment required in training resources, in their certification, and then starting to perform and operate. You need to manage them, you need to support them, you need to monitor them. So there are a lot of challenges involved, and it remains a non-core process for the healthcare provider. So to address these challenges, companies choose to outsource because for the service provider, medical billing is a core business process. So they would keep on hiring people, they would keep on training people, they would have processes on how to train, how to hire, how to certify, how to upskill, how to retrain. So rather than reinventing the wheel and getting invested in a non-core process, companies would want to outsource to a skilled provider. And that is what makes BPOs important. Not just the cost savings, but access to skilled manpower for more efficient process and better outcomes. So additional benefits would include reduced administrative costs. So BPOs not only streamline operation, but they also contribute to reduce admin costs associated with in-house management of various processes, right from setting up a facility, infrastructure, furniture, networking, telecommunications, hiring, recruitment, housekeeping. Everything is eliminated once you decide to outsource to a service provider. And that allows the company to focus more on their core business activity. So going back to the healthcare example, the healthcare provider example, when they outsource the medical billing coding part to a provider, they can focus more on patient management. They can focus more on patient care rather than focusing on claim processing and comparing the insurance policy with the medical bill, which is a critical part of the operations, but it's non-core. So now the company could focus on their core business activity. Efficiency improvement is another major factor. And again, the primary reason is because what is non-core for the client is a core function for the service provider. What is non-revenue generating for the client is revenue generating for the service provider. So the service provider will put more focus, will train people better, because that is how they generate their revenue. That is their business model. So they would continue to upskill the employees. They would continue to adapt new technology to become better and attract more clients. So all this would result in improving the efficiency of the entire business process. So it would again go back as a benefit to the client. The better the service provider, the better they are at their job, the end user of the client would benefit because of that. So efficiency improvement along with cost and the ability to focus on core processes becomes another key reason and benefit to the client. Let's look at job opportunities. Now, it's always argued that outsourcing results in job losses, but while it results in job loss at the client organization, it creates job opportunities at the service provider end. And this contributes positively to the overall employability landscape and the economy of the local state or the local country. If it is onshoring, it could be a local city. If it is offshoring, it's the local economy of the country where the service provider is located. So job loss in one place is complemented by job creation at the service provider, and it creates more job opportunities, not just direct jobs, but indirect supporting jobs as well. So if you outsource a customer service operation, you're not only hiring people to answer calls, you're also hiring admin employees, you're also hiring transport drivers to bring and ferry people to the job. You're also hiring housekeeping staff. You're also hiring canteen staff. So a lot of jobs are being created at the service provider end, which boosts the local economy. And hence, you would see a lot of government initiative policies to strengthen outsourcing in respective countries, especially in India. Then you have the ability for rapid scaling. So non-linear workforce requirements. Now, certain businesses need to scale up to handle peak demands. For example, a retailer or an e-commerce company would need more people during the peak festive seasons. So BPOs offer this flexible solution to companies. It is easier to scale up and scale down when you outsource to a service provider compared to hiring in-house staff and reducing in-house staff if you were managing the process in-house. So rapid scaling, both scaling up and scaling down, is another key advantage for the client organization. Let's look at the drivers of outsourcing, which we've discussed in the previous chapter. So you have economic, strategic, and environmental factors to outsource. So organizations are driven to outsource by various factors, including economic consideration like cost reduction, strategic objectives such as business process re-engineering, because you are able to access latest technology advancements of the service provider. You're getting access to skilled and trained manpower, which the service provider is able to provide you. So cost is the primary factor. That's one reason where companies choose to outsource. But efficiency improvement, scalability, and access to technology are other key drivers. So here again, you have a graphical representation. You have economic factors like cost reduction, cost saving. You have strategic factors. You want to accelerate your business. You want to focus on your core business operation and outsource the non-core part so that you could focus on your core activities and grow your business. And then you have environmental factors like globalization and supplier capability. Sometimes, because service providers have that service as a core of their business. Let's talk about an IT outsourcing as an example. Let's say app development. Now, a service provider who has IT graduates, computer science engineers as their manpower, they are more skilled in developing apps. They have access to the latest technology. They are aware of the latest trends. So they are better off developing an app for you compared to a non-tech client, compared, say, a bank or a hospital or an e-commerce company. They are better off in their respective business functions, manufacturing apparel, patient care, or banking operations. But the tech part is better handled by a trained, skilled, and niche service provider. And globalization, global providers provide you access to skilled manpower. So the drivers could be economic, they could be strategic, or they could be environmental and other prominent reasons why companies would outsource. And the drivers would again depend upon what you outsource. So if you're outsourcing transactional activities like data entry, the drivers would primarily be cost reduction, efficiency improvement. If you're driving critical operations like network management or app development, the drivers would be different because they are directly impacting your strategic business goals. So that is what brings us to the decision making. You know the benefits of outsourcing, but how do you decide on when and what to outsource? That needs to start with an internal assessment. So the outsourcing decision-making process begins with a thorough internal assessment to identify tasks suitable for outsourcing. So any company, any business, small, medium, or big, has multiple processes. When you map the end-to-end business process, there'll be a lot of activities, a lot of tasks, which you're performing in-house. So you need to first identify which ones do you want to outsource. It could be a non-critical process in terms of traditional outsourcing, or at times it could be a critical core process. But first you need to do an internal assessment and look at each of the processes and then decide. And after you decide, you need to build a business case why you want to outsource and what is it that you expect out of it. What are the benefits that you want to achieve by outsourcing it to a third-party provider? Once you've done that, once you know what you're wanting to outsource and you know your reasons to outsource, you need to look at the strategic impact. So what are the core business functions? So strategic impact assessment involves identifying functions core to the business and crucial for maintaining a competitive edge. So you need to know what is that is driving your business growth, what is strategic to your business, what is strategic to your organizations. You may outsource that, you may not outsource that, but you need to identify your core business functions. And then you need to decide whether you want to maintain in-house control or outsourcing. So in-house control versus outsourcing, you need to look at the pros and cons for both. So decisions have to be made regarding which functions require in-house control for differentiation and which can be streamlined through outsourcing. Let's take Apple, for example, again, which we discussed in the first chapter. Apple designs its products. It outsources the manufacturing because Apple has, while doing the assessment, understands that their USP is their design. So they want to have in-house control on the design specifications. That is their differentiator. People buy Apple because of the design quality. So Apple has retained the strategic function in-house. It has outsourced the manufacturing part to factories in China and elsewhere, now even in India. So you know, decide what are the strategic functions and on which processes do you want to maintain an in-house control in order to maintain and keep getting better in your USP or differentiator. then you need to assess the impact of the outsourcing on operations. You know, look at how will outsourcing impact your entire business operations. So organizations must evaluate how outsourcing will impact the business operations, weighing the benefits against potential drawbacks. There will be benefits and there'll also be drawbacks. Benefits obviously will be cost reduction or improvement in efficiency or gaining access to the latest technology or manpower. But there could also be drawbacks. There are risks associated which we've discussed. For example, losing control, cyber threats, data security threats. You need to assess the benefits against the drawbacks. Discuss both the pros and the cons. And then comes the flexibility and agility considerations. Assessing the impact on flexibility and agility is critical to ensure alignment with the overarching goals of the organization. So you need to assess the overall business impact, right? From cost to the quality, to the efficiency, to the different risks that could be there if you choose to outsource and lose some of the control on your business processes. And then comes the financial impact. What are the major drivers? But you need to estimate the reductions in both the fixed and the variable costs. And sometimes you will be able to have the benefit in the long run. In the short run, there could be some investments and it may take some time for you to reap the benefits of the cost reductions. So you need to assess the financial impact, estimate the impact, and take an informed decision of whom and where to outsource. Then comes the operational impact. So this is important when it comes to selecting vendors, because this is where you will look at the skill set of the vendors, their prior expertise in handling similar processes. So you need to assess the service offerings and delivery risks. It's essential to assess the maturity of a service offering. For example, service providers may have been providing similar services to clients in your industry or in other similar industries. So you need to look at the maturity of their services, maturity of the service provider, and their access to manpower, systems, policies, and their ability to scale up and scale down as required. Then comes the nuances of engaging a service provider. The first is flexibility in managing certain business areas. Now, while outsourcing offers benefits, organizations need to retain flexibility in managing certain business areas in-house. So you decide which areas you want in-house, because it allows not just control but more flexibility if you want to change certain things. Once you outsource, that may take a little longer because you have to first document the changes, you have to train the service provider, so the entire knowledge transfer will take some time. You also need to look at the risks associated with trusting external partners. This comes mostly from data, but also in terms of how sincere a provider is. Need to look at their track record on how they manage your business processes. So the assessment and the selection become very critical, because even though you may outsource non-core processes, they indirectly influence your business growth and your strategic objectives. And hence, let's look at the potential risks involved in outsourcing. First, and the most prominent, is security breaches and data risks. We've had news of customer data, business data being leaked online, like social security numbers, which is similar to Aadhaar numbers in India, or credit card numbers of customers, both in the US, India, and elsewhere. So organizations must be vigilant about potential security breaches. They need to look at the technology which these providers are using. They need to look at the government policies. They need to look at the internal policies and SOPs. Then comes unanticipated or higher cost. This happens if the entire planning is not adequate, because there could be some hidden costs which creep up once the process is already outsourced, and this could negate the financial impact which you may have estimated. Then comes monitoring issues that can disrupt engagement. Monitoring issues can happen because of different reasons. One is the entire governance system may not be adequate. The actual metrics may not be being monitored. There could be communication challenges because of the different time zones involved. So organizations must continuously monitor potential issues such as financial problems at service providers, and geopolitical stability could also be a reason that could disrupt operations, and changes in economic circumstances. And then you have strategies for coping with disruptions. What happens when there is a disruption? It could be something like a flood. It could be something like an earthquake. It could be something like a technology failure. So how is your service provider equipped to manage the process, manage the operation in terms of disruptions? So you need to have a business continuity plan, BCP, or a disaster recovery plan in terms of earthquakes or floods or more natural disasters. So these need to be assessed in order to mitigate the different risks involved. And then you need to come to the cost-benefit analysis. As we've discussed throughout, cost remains one of the primary reasons why you choose to outsource, especially the non-core functions. So the importance of a thorough analysis before you actually outsource. A thorough cost-benefit analysis is crucial because embarking on an outsourcing journey, you need to estimate on how soon will you start reaping the cost benefits and how much is it going to impact the organization, the bottom line. And then you assess the advantages and the drawbacks. Then you come to the outsourcing decision matrix. We've looked at the different reasons, right, from operations to strategic to geopolitical to financial and technical impact. But how do you decide what to outsource and what not to outsource? That's where a framework or a tool which we call outsourcing decision matrix comes in handy. This helps you decide which activities, which functions play a pivotal role in your overall strategic objectives. So which you should retain and which activities could you choose to outsource. So this matrix is divided into four quadrants. A strategic alliance, that could be one outcome. So you could either decide to form a strategic alliance. This will be important when the process is of high strategic value for your organization. You do not want to lose the in-house control. Hence, you don't outsource. You partner with a strategic vendor. Some you may retain because this could be very strategically important. And you think that you could really manage it in-house given the cost, given the resources required. Some you may outsource, and some which are not important, you may even want to eliminate. So let's look at the decision matrix. So here you have four quadrants. On the x-axis, you have the contribution to operational performance. So you have low, you have high. So activities that have a high contribution to your operational performance. And then you have activities which have a low contribution. And on the y-axis, you have the strategic importance, low and high. So if something, an activity or a process which has a very low contribution to your operational performance and is not strategically important, that you can choose to eliminate. Something which contributes to your strategical performance, but which is not strategic. So these are the non-core functions which contribute to your operational performance. For example, claim processing in healthcare scenario or customer complaint management. These contribute to your operational performance, but are not core business activities. They're not strategically important. That is what you straight away decide to outsource. Activities which contribute very high to your operational performance and have a high strategic importance, that you want to retain. And the ones which have a low contribution to operational performance but are strategically very, very important, those are activities where you decide to form a strategic alliance. So once you list down all the activities, this quadrant becomes a directive for you you could put in activities in this axis, x-axis, where you decide whether they are contributing to your operational performance, y-axis, are these activities core and non-core, given the strategic importance, and their placement in the quadrant helps you determine whether you want to outsource or you want to retain or maybe even eliminate some of the activities. So this helps an organization make an outsourcing decision. Let's again just touch up on the outsourcing drivers, which we've discussed as well. So economic, strategic, and environmental factors, including the cost, the contribution to business objectives, to geopolitical reasons. Then you have IT development, globalization, and supplier capabilities as a reason on why you would choose to outsource. But what are the precautions which you need to take when you decide to outsource? So first is loopholes in the contract. So contract loopholes and transparent contracts. Now, contracting should be carried out by legal experts within the legal framework. When you're outsourcing globally to a different country, a lot of legal regulations are to be considered. So it's best that contracts are drafted by legal experts. Then a transparent and all-inclusive contract is needed to sidestep any future disagreements. You're signing a long-term agreement, a multi-year agreement. You don't want to shift providers every year. So the contract needs to be transparent and all-inclusive. If the contract becomes unsustainable after a duration of operations, let's say a couple of years or 5 years, the entire outsourcing arrangement will go askew. Hence, you need legal experts, operational experts, financial experts will provide their inputs, but the contract needs to be drafted and carried out by legal experts to ensure that it's transparent and all-inclusive. Then you need to consider the politico-economic issues and their impact. For example, if a region is unstable because of war, because of the local economy, you can't really look at a long-term association with a service provider operating in a politically unstable country or economy. That needs to be considered as well when you decide where and whom to outsource. Then you need to look at the erosion of reputation. Now, sometimes cultural and linguistic diversity challenges can play a critical part because that can erode the customer's trust when they deal with representatives from the outsourced entity. So addressing challenges related to cultural and linguistic diversity is very important, and that's where training plays a major part. But if it is too challenging, it's better off to outsource elsewhere. You need to consider the impact it may have on customer satisfaction. And that is why countries like India and Philippines become important for processes where it's customer facing, where customer interaction, the end user interaction is very prominent. You also need to look at the privacy and the conflict of interest. So security issues in outsourcing. Discussing security concerns in outsourcing relationships and the measures organizations need to take to mitigate risks, right from technology to SOPs to policies, even government policies. And then compliance with privacy norms and conflict resolution. So ensuring compliance with privacy norms and establishing effective conflict resolution mechanisms. So these are more about governance, but become important while you decide to outsource, while you make the decision to outsource. So the major takeaway here was the outsourcing decision matrix, which helps you understand which activities to outsource, and you need to look at the drivers of outsourcing and the key things or factors which may negatively impact the outcome. So once you consider all those, you're better placed off to select the appropriate vendor and outsource. And then the next steps in terms of transition and other factors like governance, we will discuss in the subsequent chapters. Thank you.